Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Welcome, everyone. Dr. Jennings is joining us today via Skype. Dr. Jennings, on our last program, we began talking about some of the beliefs that Come and Reason shares with the world, their international ministry, and we touched on a couple of them, but you had many more to come. Would you mind taking some time today and sharing some more of the beliefs that Come and Reason Ministries wants to share with the entire world? What do we need to know?
So, yeah, thank you, Charles. First and foremost, the core and most important belief is God is love. Yes. And at our website, for those who may be listening to our program for the first time, comeandreason.com, if you go to our website, at the very top, there is a banner, which is an active link that says, not sure where to start, click here if you're new to Come and Reason Ministries. And it will take you to this page where we have this long list of beliefs, and they're kind of bullet-listed beliefs. And then under each bullet are various links that you can go to get more information, more explanation. Some of them are blogs, some of them are videos, some of them are other resources that will help you understand more clearly what we believe on that subject matter. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to run through some of these, and then if I run through them, maybe we can expand on some, but we won't have time to expand them all. But they kind of build how we see reality. And the first is that God is love.
Yes. Yes.
And that God is the creator, and so he's the builder of reality, and that God exists in a triune perfection of love. And we explain that. I won't go into detail now, but why we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit, we have several blogs on that, but the big reason is how love functions. Love is always other-centered, giving, beneficent. Love cannot function in isolation as a singularity. And for those who want to claim there was a time in history when there was a singularity, God the Father, and no other, then at that time in history, God was no longer love. And so for us, we are very confident in the scripture and the understanding that God exists in a triune, and that is because that's how love functions. There's always an other. When God created, he created perfectly, without defect, without any flaw, without sin. And he created the entire universe as he built it and constructed it. He built it to operate in harmony with his nature of love. And these are the laws upon which the universe operates. Some of them are physical, like the law of gravity or the laws of physics. Some of them are functional, like the laws of health, the law of respiration. Some of them are moral, like how relationships work, on truth, on honesty, on faithfulness, on integrity. These are laws. If you want healthy relationships, you can't cheat. If you cheat, that relationship does not last. It breaks down. It dies. And so there are laws upon which reality functioned. And these are not rules. They are just the protocols upon which life and health are built. And we have many of those, and we describe those, and there are many resources to help you unpack and see how they work in everyday life. We describe what sin is, and the Bible says it's transgression of the law, which is not breaking a rule. It's actually breaking the laws upon which life is built. And that's why the wages of sin is death, because when you break the law of respiration, for instance, and tie a plastic bag over your head, the only outcome of doing that is death unless you're restored to harmony with the law. Somebody pulls the bag off your head, and yes, then you can continue living. And so the gospel, the true message is life is only possible in harmony with God and the laws he built life to operate upon. Sin takes us out of harmony with both God and his design laws for life, and the result of that is ruin and death. And this is what the Bible teaches in James 1:15, sin when full grown brings forth death, or Galatians 6:8, those who sow to the carnal nature from that nature reap destruction. And when Adam sinned in Eden, he broke that design law and he became terminal. The Bible describes it in words like this, dead in trespass and sin. He had a terminal condition that without remedy from God would result in his death and every other human death as well. And this is how we are born with this condition. Psalms 51:5, we're born in sin, conceived in iniquity, because God created Adam and Eve with the ability to make beings in their image. They come together and they procreate beings in their image. And once they infected themselves with this terminal sin condition, they only have beings born with that terminal sin condition. And so we understand that we are not born legally condemned under a cosmic judicial death sentence that the cosmic judge is going to inflict upon us. And we're not born guilty, we're born terminal. So imagine an HIV-infected man and an HIV-infected woman get together and had a baby born HIV-infected. What did the baby do wrong?
Nothing.
But the baby has a condition that without remedy results in symptoms and then death. We're all born with this condition. We don't need to feel guilty for the condition. We never chose to have it. But just like that HIV child, if there was free antivirals available and the child is now old enough to understand and make informed decisions and the child refuses to take the antiviral medicines that will cure the child, then they become responsible not for the condition, but for refusing the remedy. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're responsible for. Light has come into the world, but men prefer darkness to the light. Jesus has come into the world with a solution, and we're held responsible not for having the sin condition. We'll be held responsible for rejecting the remedy that heals us in Jesus Christ. Ever since the fall, no human being could fix this condition. So God sent his son to become a real human being in order to overcome. And that's the promise of Genesis 3:15, that the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. And there can be no human salvation without the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is the only means of salvation. And we describe how and why that is. We could not achieve it. And it was in the humanity of Jesus Christ that the species human was saved. Jesus became a real living human being, took humanity, descended from Adam and Eve, and his Father was the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus Christ, he was tempted, as Scripture says, in every way just like we are, yet without sin. And he destroyed the infection of that carnal drive that can tempt us, because even though he was without sin, he felt those temptations in Gethsemane. You see him agonizing and suffering and being tempted to act to save himself. But instead of saving himself, he gives himself in love. And thus he perfected or carried humanity to perfection as God intended it to be in Adam. And thus the species human is saved in the sinless Jesus Christ, who was a real human being and a real sinless human being. But simultaneously, Jesus achieved what was necessary for any member of the human race who puts their trust or faith in Jesus to receive his victory, and we get a new heart and right spirit, and we can have individual salvation through our faith in Jesus Christ. And so both of those things are true. God created human beings in his image with capacity for reason, for comprehension, for understanding, and he wants our faithful, loyal, trusting friendship. John 15:15, Jesus actually called his disciples into faithful friendships with him.
That's beautiful.
No longer wanting us to be slaves or servants, but understanding friends.
Beautiful.
And this is only possible as we mature, as we come in faith, maybe as a humble child to start with, and the Bible describes this many places, we are to mature and grow up into the full stature of Jesus Christ, who are capable of discerning right from wrong. And so we describe that the initial process is a rebirth and we become babes in Christ, but we are not to remain infants tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but we are to develop maturity and critical reasoning skills where we actually come to know God for who he is, as Jesus revealed him to be, but we also know, understand, value, cherish, and intelligently apply the methods and principles of God and how we live our lives, govern ourselves, and treat other people. We offer what's called the integrative evidence-based approach, which is the integration of three threads of evidence that God reveals and teaches through the Scripture, God's revealed will, all Scriptures God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, and training in righteousness, science and nature. The Bible says that God's divine nature is seen in what he has made so that men are without excuse, Romans 1:20, and through life experiences, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so we harmonize those, seeking the same truth through all three threads. And when all three come to the same conclusion, we can be confident we're standing on truth.
And that right there, that teaching that you just mentioned, the three threads, that has helped me in a lot of instances. And I really appreciate the fact that Common Reason has presented that to the world. That's marvelous.
We also believe in the power and the necessity of individual salvation of the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus achieved what was necessary by himself, singly and alone, tread the winepress alone. Mm-hmm. As a human being, he overcame and defeated the enemy and overcame sin and perfected humanity in his own sojourn. But that victory is applied into the life of believers via the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit leads us to repentance. The Holy Spirit gives us a new heart and right spirit. The Holy Spirit writes the law in the heart and mind. The Holy Spirit circumcises our heart. It is the work of the Holy Spirit applying all that Christ achieved into us that transforms, converts, develops, and restores Christ-likeness within us. So it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in us. We become partakers of the divine nature through the work of the Holy Spirit. We believe that Jesus not only saved the human species in himself, provides salvation for all who will put faith in him, and the Spirit cleanses and restores us to faithfulness and heart and mind, and one day we will be glorified with glorified bodies. We also believe that the work of Jesus secured the unfallen intelligent beings in the universe from disaffection and rebellion. And it says in Colossians 1 that all things in heaven and in earth are reconciled to Christ at the cross through the shedding of his blood. Mm-hmm. And there are other places that teaches as well. So we believe that there was more going on in Christ's mission than only the salvation of human beings, that he was settling a cosmic war that began in heaven and bringing it to its conclusion so that we will not live in the hereafter in a war zone.
And Satan knew this at this point, didn't he, when Christ was dying on the cross? Did not Satan know what was going on?
Satan knew that Christ was coming for the purpose of overthrowing him. Mm. Satan can't read the future. And I am not convinced that prior to Christ's resurrection, that Satan knew he lost. Mm. Satan might have had the fantasy that at the cross he was winning, that by killing Jesus he was going to win the deal, because Satan was so corrupted in his own thinking, he couldn't see the outcome of what Christ was achieving. But on resurrection morning, then Satan realized he'd lost.
Man. And what else do we need to know from your ministry?
That the only power that can enable us to live victoriously is the power of God's love restored into our hearts through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we have multiple resources on our website: victory through intimate love, peace and victory when evil abounds, our two natures gaining the victory, how we actually gain the victory. And the victory is gained through the application of truth and love into the heart. We also make a clear distinction between God's laws, which are the design protocols that the universe is built upon, and the types of laws human beings make up. We can't build space, time, energy, matter, and life. So what we do is we make up rules that require external enforcement, and then we use external power to coerce or punish people for rule breaking. That is Satan's view of how things work. That's the human sinful view of how things work. And sadly, much of the religions, including Christianity, have taken this idea of law and projected it back onto heaven and falsely teach that God runs his universe like a Roman Caesar runs Rome, and that corrupts everything, including how we understand judgment. In the Bible, there are four different types of judgment, and none of them are judicial in nature. Many people think they are. I encourage people to go to our website and look up the four judgments. I think you'll be quite amazed to discover what those judgments actually are and what's actually happening, but it's not judicial in the process. And then we also describe death and resurrection. We describe what hell actually is and what it's not. Many of the things taught about it are actually come out of Greek mythology rather than biblical teaching. So there's lots of really important resources on our website. And that's an overview of our beliefs. And we have lots of links where people can go and download sharing documents. And if you say, oh, I love this, I'd like to share it. Most of these things, we have sharing documents people can take and pass out to their friends.
All right. Very good. Again, that website, comeandreason.com. And there's a link there for the people that are just coming on for the first time to click, and you'll find out what it is that Come and Reason Ministries believe from their heart and are trying to reach the world with. That's all at comeandreason.com. Dr. Jennings, as always, thank you for sharing this positive, loving vision of God now and in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charles.
This program was sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries, and Dr. Jennings joins us today via Skype. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.